Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How do newly elected lawmakers carry your wishes to peer this legislative session? Where do we go from here? Broadcasts live today from the SDPB Black Hills studio. Tune in to the digital broadcast at 1 p.m. Central, 12 Mountain Time. Join host Chuck Parkinson and guests in the studio. We're located in the Part Central building on Main Street in downtown Rapid City. The topic for today's Where Do We Go From Here is fresh voices in peer, listening to first-time newly elected state legislators. Chuck Parkinson joins us now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio. Chuck, welcome back.
Thanks, Lori. It's good to be with you as always.
Also with us, Skylar Borglum. She is representative-elect from District 32. Skylar, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right, Chuck, tell us a little bit about what's ahead for Where Do We Go From Here.
Well, Lori, as you'll recall, our September program, we featured women in government and activity as women were moving into positions. And from that perspective, we took a look at the discussion that was nationally about the fact that we have the Year of the Woman. Well, today we are really happy to have five new freshman legislators, all women, who were elected to office for the first time. And I think the discussion that to get their perspective as a new legislator, but also the fact that one of the discussion points in that September program was the process that women bring to the, you know, their thought process compared to the traditional men in office. And jokingly at that point, Linda Levykin, we had an empty chair in our panel, and I indicated that that was for a future elected, and Linda Lee said, "You're going to have to get more chairs." and in that particular case, we thought that this would be a great opportunity to talk with that and see what the young women who have been elected to office, what their plans are and how they plan to bring their thought process to peer.
All right, we've got quite a few chairs, five metaphorical chairs there. Who's all joining the conversation, Chuck?
Well, Skylar is with us from District 32. Red Dawn Foster, Senator-elect from District 27, which is Oglala, Lakota County, Bennett, Jackson, and Hocken. Also, Puri Puyer, who's the newly elected representative from District 27, will also be joined in Sioux Falls with Aaron Healy, who's a rep-elect from District 14, and Kelly Sullivan, rep-elect from District 13.
Interesting. All right, Skylar, let's bring you into the conversation here. Tell us a little bit about District 32, if you will.
District 32 is highly representative of South Dakota in general. We have a variety of backgrounds. Our demographics span the gamut from all levels of socioeconomics to education levels. Rural, we have a little bit of rural out on the southern part of the district, and then we have more urban and business-oriented on the northern point. So my district is the central rectangle out of Rapid City, and I have the privilege of representing that great group.
All right, tell me a little bit about why you ran for office. Why now? What has sort of fueled some of those decisions?
I've been interested in running for politics and running for a political office for the past 20 years, so this is not a new idea. What did become apparent is for all the places that I've lived all over the United States and I've lived in Europe, this is the place that most resembled and resonated with my values. So I knew I could run for office authentically. I didn't have to change anything about myself. I didn't have to modify anything, but I could run as the woman that I am, as the Republican that I am, and do an excellent job representing the people in my district whose values align with my values. The reason I did it now is because I was coming out of my last year of graduate school. I just finished my PhD in engineering at SD Mines, and it was a transition time. And frankly, going out in 14-degree winter weather to collect ballot petition signatures sounded more fun than working on my dissertation. So that's what I did.
Everybody's got a story about how they avoid their dissertations. Yours is a winner, though.
Yes. Indeed.
People are going to have to buy you a drink after you get that story. Like, yep, you got it. when you were going out and having those conversations, though, with voters, what sorts of things, you know, because you were able to bring your authentic self to your campaign, what sorts of things were voters telling you that was important to them?
I love this. I absolutely love it. So I have a variety of skill sets, and my voters have a variety of concerns. And when I was going out asking for signatures, I asked what those concerns were with the idea that that would become my platform, because I would know what mattered to them, and I would be able to pair it with what I knew I could bring to the table. And what it shook out to being is, number one, promoting and investing in education, the entire thing, all soup to nuts, start to finish, all 16 years, and including Western Dakota Tech, SD Mines, BHSU, the whole thing. The next piece is economic diversity. I come from a background, both of my parents were small business owners. My grandfather here in Kimball, South Dakota, was a small business owner, great-grandfather. On the other side, Canute Borglum was in Watertown and started and managed Herberger's. So entrepreneurialism and economic diversity runs long and deep in my family. And then the last piece was a social piece. Initially, I started with eliminating human trafficking. And law enforcement reached out to me, and I'm so glad that they did, because it turns out human trafficking is a symptom of something far worse and far more devastating, and that would be, of course, the meth addictions that are burning through our communities. And so having those conversations with my constituents and knowing that I can contribute and make a difference in those three areas was really what I could bring to the table. The other piece that I'll put in briefly is my background is equal parts theology and science and engineering. And there's a lot that I can do with that. My faith matters to me. I am a Christian. I'm also a woman of science. I'm data driven. I'm a problem solver, and I like solutions. So having those two master's degrees really has given me a unique perspective and a unique way to visit with people and identify with what their concerns are.
Chuck Parkinson, if you could give me an idea of, as you listen to some of these lawmakers, you know, heading to Pierre for the first time, what's in store for them?
Well, I can use my background when I first went to Washington, D.C., and the joke at that point was it took people 4 months to find the bathroom. And you know, it's an overwhelming experience, and it's a fun experience. There are days when you're asking yourself, why am I doing this? And there'll be some days like that. The days are long. The days are you're learning something new every step of the way, because having never dealt with this before, seeing how the process actually works. That's one of the things I think that most people don't understand. They look at, you know, they look at Pierre and say, well, they're not doing anything there. Well, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that you don't see. And that's when the work gets done. And it's just not being on the floor and hearing the short debate on issues, because people don't get enough time. And I think one of the things that in South Dakota, which is, it can be good and can be problematic, is the session is so condensed in the period of time that is there, and there's so much needs to be done. And one of the things that's very important, and most people think that legislators go and they're legislating just for today, but more importantly, the most important thing is they're legislating for the future. The steps they take today may have an immediate impact, but they're also going to have a long-term impact. And I think that's one of the things that you know, speaking from a perspective of not having been an elected official, but someone that looks at the process pretty specifically and being process-oriented, you have to understand that the decisions you make today have a long-term impact, and you have to look at what those long-term impacts are going to be.
Chuck, I want you to expand, if you will, on something you just said about the condensed session, because on one hand, as a new lawmaker, it's important to listen and sort of get your feet under you. On the other hand, the time is short, and if there are things like what Skylar was saying about dealing with meth in the state, you got to get moving on legislation and having the conversations that need to be had. How do you sort of balance that being new with having a sense of urgency to get things done, Chuck?
That's a very difficult question, Lori, and it's one I think that puzzles and has an impact on all legislators. Going and trying to fill in, and the big thing is that I think is important to understand, you can't get everything in one big bite, and there's nothing wrong with getting a small step here and a small step there and to build on those things. And I think that's the big thing that you have to think about. There are going to be bills that have a huge impact on things, and they're going to be put together. But the one thing is that is important is you're never going to get everything you want. And therefore, you have to look at the procedure is that what can I take away from this, and how can I work with other legislators to find a solution that we all can agree on, because people come from different political philosophies, but we all have one thing. You got to find that common ground and take that small step if that's what you're going to get the first time, because quite frankly, these are huge problems, and we can do a lot of there can be a lot of rhetoric about them, but it's always in the details that you have to work out, and those are things that are really important.
Skylar Borglum, you mentioned social issues and the sense of authenticity in your own faith and your science background. And we've been hearing a lot of sort of buzz, if you will, about some of the social issues that probably will come up this legislative session. So tell me, as a lawmaker, how you sort of bring these two parts of yourself, which are not in contradiction to each other but complement each other, how you bring them to some of the more controversial, challenging social issues of the day.
I think the most important thing to remember is we're talking about actual human beings here, and when I look forward, as Chuck mentioned and alluded to, it is incumbent upon me to anticipate unintended consequences. Well, how do you do that? Yeah. And so I'm not trying to sidestep your question, but the direction I'm going to come at it with is, number one, do we need to even make new legislation? Okay. If not, we don't need to add to anything. Number two, is it going to make life better or worse for the people that we are concerned with? And then number three, and maybe this should be all the way up at number one, is what we're doing legal? It's not South Dakota's responsibility to put forward legislation that we have to pay for to take all the way up to the Supreme Court if it's not going to work. We already did that. Attorney General Marty Jackley did a fantastic job with the Wayfair question, and it benefited us and it benefited states around us. But South Dakota has done a great job. If somebody else wants to take that on, that's their business. We have policy issues that are right in front of our noses that need to be addressed. And one I can think of right off the top of my head besides meth is the skyrocketing suicide rate in this state. This means something, and this is something that needs to be dealt with promptly. So I'm not sure if that answers your question.
It does, yeah. No, thank you. And I'm wondering what kind of preparation you get, Skylar, for, learning where the bathroom is and learning how things work, meeting new people. How does that process work?
Well, As I said, I've lived a lot of different places. I've moved around quite a bit, and I have an order of operations. Number one, find the best coffee shop. Number two, find the ladies' restroom. And once you've got those two things nailed down, everything else is really pretty easy. So,
and let's close with this notion of, as we're talking about women in politics. It's maybe too soon to really give advice to others who are thinking about running. As a broader picture, but from the campaign and the standpoint of where you stand right now to the women who are thinking, or the young people who are thinking about running for office, what's some of the advice that you learned in running a successful campaign?
There were three pieces given to me that ended up being invaluable. Number one, get out and meet your constituents every night. Whether it's for 30 minutes, 90 minutes, 3 hours, whatever energy you have in you, you get out and you knock on doors. You go door to door. It is the least expensive and the most valuable time you will have with the people who matter the most. Number two, don't worry about aligning yourself with anybody in the beginning. And we, as you know, have a heavily Republican state, so there's a lot of jostling and elbowing and jockeying for who's going to be which Republican. the advice given to me for that reason was, let all the dust settle. You go out, you run your own race, you win it, and then we can figure out what kind of alignments we want to make later. And then the last piece is, if it isn't fun, it's not worth it, right? Mm. It's too much time. It's too much energy. Your heart gets in it, whether you want it to or not. And if it just isn't fun, if you're not doing this to serve the people, don't do it. It's just too much. And I've had an absolute blast. I've met phenomenal South Dakotans of every stripe, shape, and color. I've enjoyed every minute of it. And yes, it's a lot of work. My calendar is booked top to bottom. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It also helps to have something really epic that you'd like to procrastinate just a little bit. Tune in to Where Do We Go From Here. You can join us in this studio in SDPB's Black Hills studio, or watch the digital broadcast 1 p.m. Central, noon Mountain Time. You can find that at SD.net or tune into our Facebook page. Chuck, Skyler, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure.